I'm just, you seem to be very, very concerned and upset, but let's see if we can do that, Jennifer Moore, if that's okay with you. And certainly if Mayor Gleason is tied up or in a meeting, I mean, we have to understand that because, you know, he's a very busy man. All right, now let's get back to this for a second. This, the thing that happens here is you folks apparently took a particular tactic which was in disagreement with one of the other groups there, okay? They, according to the reports, didn't want a confrontation or whatever you want to call it with the mayor. Now, do they have a point, the other part of that protest?
Well, we did everything within the guidelines. That was another problem. Dave Ellis's exact quote is that our group was invited to participate as long as we would keep our limits, and that means anything that was totally legal.
Well, what were the guidelines that he gave to you, Jennifer?
He didn't say anything except just participate and have a good time. And he said nothing illegal, and nothing illegal went
right.
down.
But did he mention anything about avoiding confrontation or a face-to-face interview with his worship?
No. Actually, Dave Ellis went up at one point and tried to speak to the mayor. He kept going up. Other groups kept going up.
Youth
Against War just sort of took over at the end. His group left. Youth Against War were concerned about a whole bunch of young students who've been waiting, and really wanted to see the mayor.
Is he in class now, Gord Ellis?
Pardon me?
Is Gord Ellis in class?
But yes, probably.
Over a deal.
Right. I haven't been able to get a hold of him.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll try to get him as well if we can. And I'll just make a note of this. Okay, now you said the word take over. Youth Against War took over.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that may have offended the other group?
No, because they left. We supported the other group all the way. And basically, we clarified the fact that SANA is a separate group. Youth Against
War. What is that? What's that group called?
Students Against Nuclear Arms are a totally different group. And Youth Against War was going to go upstairs because they wanted to talk to Al Gleason. And I said to the students, if any of those people wanted to come with us, that was fine. They had that right. Okay?
Okay. So you've got two groups here. You've got the Students Against Nuclear Arms. You call it SANA. Or SANA, I should say. Not SANA. Here comes SANA. And you also have the Youth Against War. What are the aims of SANA in your view?
I think the aims are pretty similar to ours, except they're not as action-oriented. They're trying to work perhaps more within the system, more with the approval of the establishment, so to speak, which doesn't mean that that's the opposite of our group, which is unfortunate, but that's probably what will happen.
Okay, now, here's what I'm hearing you say, Jennifer. They want to work within the system. They want to, work within the establishment. Now, let me ask you this, and think about it carefully. Is the antithesis, all right, working outside of the system and outside of the establishment? Or is there a middle ground? Now, have you thought about the options that may be available to you?
Yeah, there is a middle ground. Basically, this is a really difficult thing to talk about.
Why?
Well, because Dave Ellis's personal feelings about civil disobedience are so strong. Okay, and I think a lot of people don't even understand what civil disobedience is.
Okay, well I'll tell you what we're going to do is we're going to have some messages here, and we're going to get into this question of civil disobedience because it's an important issue, and we're also going to try to reach Mr. Ellis if we can. Now, we've been informed the mayor is tied up in a meeting now. We will keep trying to get the mayor if he's available. Again, understanding that this call is coming just out of the blue to him, and if he's available, hopefully he'll come on and speak with us, and if he's not, we understand that because, I mean, the man, is, as I say, is very busy. Also, we will try to get a hold of Mr. Ellis if we can because I suspect he's in class now, so Jeff is going to make that call, and we'll see what we can come up with. And when we come back, we'll talk about civil disobedience, and then we're going to open the phone lines up at 433-3121. We're talking with Jennifer Moore on our live line, who is with the group Youth Against War. We're getting into tactics that manifest themselves in peace demonstrations and that sort of thing. And we talked about civil disobedience. What do you see the role, Jennifer Moore, to be for civil disobedience, if indeed there is a role?
I see it as directly confronting authority, the authority that keeps places like Lytton in business, keeps the production of arms going. Basically, it's making a statement in front of the media and, you know, in the courts, clogging the jails. It's non-cooperating with evil, so to speak, as Gandhi.
With evil. Okay, now you talked earlier that what you did with the mayor was not a confrontation, and yet you're saying that that civil disobedience is directing a confrontation to take place. Hmm. Now, do you believe in this type of tactic of civil disobedience, I guess, is the next question.
What tactic of civil disobedience?
Well, do you believe in the concept of civil disobedience to promote your particular views?
Oh, definitely, but that's not what went down yesterday at all. There was no civil disobedience because we worked with the police.
Was there an event that could have been construed in the minds of some people to be confrontational?
Well, obviously, if that's what Dave Ellis thought, then he's...
Well, we're trying to reach... Let's ask you the question. We're trying to reach Dave Ellis now. Again, he's in class. We'll see if we can get him. Jeff is working on that this moment. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, is it possible, in your own view, that this talk with the mayor could be construed or thought to be confrontational?
No.
Not possible at all?
No, he's got all these students sitting on the floor in the lobby very quietly raising their hands, and innocently asking questions. If anything, it was far, far, far from confrontational. That's the last thing it was.
Okay, and what else were you doing yesterday? You were just sitting in the lobby?
Yeah, we were just sitting in the lobby. The police were there.
Yeah.
They were waiting with us. And a few students were concerned. One student was concerned with fallout shelters in London. She'd seen the movie The Day After.
Right.
She wondered if London had any fallout shelters.
Right.
Okay? And Meryl Gleason said her question was silly. And the girl was close to tears. I mean, she had no idea that... No, I think she assumed that, of course, we had some kind of shelter.
Mm-hmm.
London being targeted because of the plant.
Did you hear the word silly? Did you just get somebody's report? Did you hear it yourself with your own ears?
No, I was downstairs.
Okay. Is it possible that it may have been an incorrect interpretation of what was said?
No, it's a direct quote.
But yet you never heard it, though.
Well, she told me and...
But what if she were wrong?
Well, we've got 40 witnesses, don't we? I mean, of course everything can be said to protect the mayor, but I think when he's wrong, that should be unveiled as well. You can't keep saying, well, of course, because he's mayor, he's right, he doesn't make mistakes.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, he makes mistakes, obviously.
Everybody makes mistakes. You've made mistakes.
Right, I've made mistakes. Everyone makes them. But I think that the way he handled this group was very bad. The students got an awful impression of him.
Mm-hmm.
They were just...
Well, how do you know they got an awful impression of him?
Well, they were very upset that he just walked through. They said...
But how do you know they were?
Because
did you talk to all of them?
Yes, they were very upset. Okay. They're coming to the next Youth Against War meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They're very upset. They said, what can we do? I mean, he doesn't care. And that's an awful feeling to have among young people, that the mayor of their city doesn't care.
Okay.
He's not willing to talk.
Is it possible, then, that you may be judging him, though, a little too prematurely and making the wrong judgment?
Well, I guess I'll see today. I'm going to phone his office and see if I can have him come speak. Okay?
Okay, well, that's a good move.
And if...
To sort of open the lines of communication up.
Right. And if he says no, then I'm going to release that to the press.
Well, are you on a personal campaign of any kind, Jennifer?
Personal?
Yeah. Against the mayor of London.
Not yet.
but that's something you're thinking about, though.
Absolutely not. But basically what I'm saying is, if he's not going to listen to the majority of the youth in London and their concerns, especially regarding the arms race, I mean, what's he concerned about?
How can you say the majority when you have 150 students out of how many 16,000 students in London? How can you say the majority?
Because I think the majority is concerned.
Yeah, but only 150 people showed up, for goodness sake.
Yeah, and it was snowing and cold, and not everyone knew. Another thing was.
And then when in Lytton, how many people did you have there? You had 400 people out of 12 million in the province of Ontario. How can you say the majority?
It's because the majority proved in the referendum that they are concerned about the arms race. Not everyone's willing to do civil disobedience, and I respect that totally.
Okay.
But I think the majority of people, if you talk to them one-on-one, and I talk to people all the time, and I'm asking average citizens, well, what's your opinion? Well, I don't want to see a nuclear war, but there's nothing I could do about it. That apathetic attitude, and, you know, but they have concerns. And I think to dismiss those concerns is really upsetting.
Let's go to the phones now and see if the majority of our listeners feel the same way as you do or have a different opinion. 433-3121 is the number. There's a lot of issues here. A comment made by Jennifer Moore here on CFPL about perceptions that she has and perceptions that the people with her have regarding the mayor of London and what happened yesterday, and also perceptions that she has in reference to another group called SANA, Students Against Nuclear Arms, and we're trying to get a representative from that group on as well this morning. Let's hear from you at 433-3121. If you're out of town, call collect. Let's go to the phones now and see what the feeling of our callers are as we continue to talk with Jennifer Moore. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Wayne. Wayne, about civil disobedience.
And by the way, you're on with Jennifer Moore on the other line, so go ahead.
Yeah, right. Well, I more or less have only some comments to make, but if you'd like to interject, she's welcome to. One of the important things I think when you're talking about civil disobedience is that you do not resort to the methods that you're protesting. That is, you do not transgress people's property or their freedom of movement when, in fact, maybe that's what you're protesting. I think it's bad when they offer confrontationist type tactics to the mayor, who's not at all involved in this problem. And in fact, Canada doesn't even have any nuclear weapons. So I think if the students were to polish up and really specify what it is they're against and get a little more organized and let's face it, respectable looking, I think people would take them more seriously. As it happens, I've been reading a lot and what...
Okay, let me ask Jennifer, Mark. Sorry to interrupt you, but let me ask Jennifer what to go over again specifically what it is that you're protesting, Jennifer.
Okay, first of all, London was not made a nuclear-free weapon zone.
What does that mean, nuclear-free weapon zone?
That means there can be no... basically any kind of uranium cannot go through London. As far as shipping, it means that there should be no weapons in London.
No weapons or just nuclear weapons?
Well, nuclear weapons, basically.
Have there ever been nuclear weapons in London?
Well, I don't know.
So we're already a nuclear weapons-free zone then, aren't we?
Well, that's right now.
Well,
okay.
Then you're not really asking for anything, are you?
We're asking why it couldn't be made a nuclear-free weapon zone.
But would saying so in an official declaration by a municipal government which has no jurisdiction on a federal matter, would that make any difference to the fact we've never been in a nuclear weapon zone?
I don't know. I think it would. I think it would. Another thing I wanted to comment on what you said, and basically about Canada not having anything to do with nuclear weapons. What about cruise testing? Don't you think that's supporting the states' escalation of nuclear weapons?
But Canada supports the states because we're in NATO. Would you want us out of NATO?
Absolutely.
Any particular reason why?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel it's a bad move. I feel that...
Now think of what you're saying. How really specific and intelligent does it sound? Because I think it's a bad move. Now, you're just asking for a withdrawal out of a defense agreement that's fairly significant to a lot of Canadians, and you're saying because you think it's a bad move. Now, you're a leader of a movement. Do you think that sounds credible and intelligent to say it as...
Well, okay, you didn't let me finish either. What I'm saying is I think Canada could be a neutral country, like Sweden or Switzerland, for example. And I think we could...
But Sweden has a larger armed forces than Canada does.
Yeah, but basically, they've, as far as the superpowers go, they have a neutral stance. They're not supporting one or the other. And what Canada's doing is they're supporting the United States. Okay? And I think that's dangerous as far as Canada's concerned. Because
why? I'm curious.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I think Canada's in a good position just because we're strategically set up between the two countries, okay? That we'd be right in the middle of a nuclear war.
Well, why this is getting right to the heart of Trudeau's peace initiative. Go ahead, Mark.
Why does that lend itself to, why shouldn't we ally ourselves to the United States? Do you not see us being philosophically close to the United States than the Soviet Union?
Philosophically?
Yes.
I don't think that means anything. I think that we're talking about a militaristic attitude and keeping up the game of two little camps of little boys making weapons is ridiculous. I think Canada should step out and say, look, we believe in alternatives other than that militaristic attitude.
And what are those alternatives?
Just to be neutral, to make Canada nuclear weapon-free zone.
How will that influence the American and Soviet buildup? Since we don't already, there are no nuclear weapons in Canada, so what you're asking for is in ipso facto. So what is it you're trying to achieve? All the things you said you want really already exist in this country.
Let's give her the last word.
Okay, basically the fact that I don't think it's going to keep up like this. I see it as an escalating thing, and I think cruise testing is definitely supporting the United States, and it's supporting nuclear weapons.
Okay, and one last point to our caller.
Oh, Wayne, no, I've got all the answers I generally want, so thanks very much.
Thank you for your call. Bye-bye now. Go ahead, Susan. Thanks for waiting. You're on with Jennifer Moore from Youth Against War.
Right. I just wanted to say that, first of all, Mr. McClellan, I think you should lay off her. I think that anybody who wants to have any sense in this world is against nuclear weapons. And the other thing I want...
Oh, yeah, that's right. You make a very good point. That's right. And I think Reagan, in essence, is against them, too, in terms of wanting to reduce the amount of weapons available.
Yeah, sure. And, of course, in the meantime, he's been heating up every other sphere in the world. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is that regarding credibility, your previous caller there, is this is a man who has come on the radio several times saying that we should just take care of our families and not worry about nuclear war because it's inevitable. And, you know, some people...
Well, our caller didn't say that now, Susan.
No, he didn't say that today, but I've heard him several other times.
I don't recall his saying that those words...
Well, the gist of what he said was that...
Okay, so that's your interpretation of what he said then.
Well, I heard what he said, and he said precisely that to you. Anyway, I'm pretty sure he did. That we should try and take care of our own families, and that the nuclear war is inevitable, and that we should just go ahead and try and make sure that we survive a nuclear war, which is a ludicrous thing, because if you don't know anything about biology, and this came up recently in a biology class that I'm taking.
Mm-hmm. What was the point there?
The fact is that when radiation, which is known mutagenic, i.e. it...
What is that now?
It's a known mutagenic.
Now, what does that mean?
It mutates the genetic structure.
Okay.
Okay, in your chromosome.
Right.
That's a permanent thing. This means that if we are responsible for allowing the United States and the Soviet Union to get away with escalation and to not take at least some stand, which is what these students are doing, and I think it's a laudable thing, and anything that can be done is a laudable thing, that this means that we will cause our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, etc., if they're around, to pass on genetic material which is permanently changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're
talking about something.
Who, me or the caller?
Yeah, well, I think you too, because you come on very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a very, very hostile sort of manner. And I don't think you gave her a chance to speak properly, and also...
Well, just let's back up here now. Let's analyze this for a moment. You're suggesting that I didn't give her a chance to speak. Did I cut her off?
Well, very, quite hostile, and then accusing her of having a confrontationist attitude, which is,
Well, the word was mentioned by the guest of confrontation, but I appreciate the fact that you feel comfortable enough to tell me exactly how you feel, and that's important. Now, could I ask something here?
Uh-huh.
Okay. If we, in this part of the world, disarm or do what we can to reduce these missiles that you people are very concerned about,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the Soviet Union doesn't do that, okay, because you know their people can't protest as we can in this country. How do we deal with that particular set of circumstances?
Well, first of all, it's a fact, if you've been doing some reading, that the peace movement in the Soviet Union is 18 million strong. So
Let me say this, if I could. I do try to read as much as I can. I also understand, according to some of the thinkers around, people like Bill Buckley and Robert McNamara even Carl Sagan, that over in the Soviet Union, the people, the so-called peace demonstrators, in some cases, not in all, are tools of the state.
I'm sure that the thinkers such as, I've heard thinkers like that, and I know exactly what kind of Stan the McNamara is of this world thing.
Well, what kind of Stan do you think that is?
I think it's very, very biased. It's the kind of Stan that they come across here and say, see all these people who are demonstrating for peace, they're all tools of internet of the Soviet Union, which is a silly thing to say.
Okay, well,
nope.
Make your last point, we have to run.
Right, okay, well, I just think that people like Jennifer Moore and people who want to prevent a nuclear war should do everything they can, and congratulations to them. I think that's just fine. Way to go, you guys.
Thank you so much, and I'm glad you called.
Right.
Okay, bye-bye. Good morning, Ted. You're next on CFPL. You're on with Jennifer Moore. Go ahead.
Great. Jennifer?
Hi.
Jennifer, can I tell you a little story? It'll take me about half a minute. In 1939, a man stepped off a plane in Britain, Neville Chamberlain, with a piece of paper. He'd just come back from seeing Herr Hitler. And the peace groups over there, and our peace groups in Britain and the Western world, no war in our time. Well, it resulted in me being one of 100 that was stranded on the beaches of Dunkirk, simply because we didn't arm, and they were armed up to the teeth. We sat on that beach there for 36 hours, being strafed and bombed. We later managed to get out on a crippled ship, and after that, our citizen Britain were completely wiped out, quite a lot of them, and we were busy trying to get the Americans to send us some arms to save our country and save the Western world. By the grace of God, and only God, saved our country and the Western world at that time.
What's your response, Jennifer? Let me ask for Jennifer's response, if I could.
Thank you.
What is your response, Jennifer?
Basically, I don't understand how that touches what I'm saying. I respect that story. I think it's very sad, and I think it's very typical of war. And I appreciate that comment, but I don't see how it's really affecting what I'm talking about, which is the escalation right now of nuclear war, nuclear arms, and how it sort of outrun itself.
Okay, can I just... Finish?
Sure, go ahead, Ted.
In the last 2 years of war, I was trained in communism, okay? Because we didn't think that we would stop in Berlin. We thought we were going through. The old man, being Churchill, thought in his mind that we were going through and strangled Bolshevism. Now, my point is this. I do understand what the Russians are doing. Now, believe me, my dear, that government, since 1917, it now being 1983, has been in all those years. The young people and all the other people have been brought up in Russia under that terrorism, that supposedly communist. I don't think for one moment that unless you group, get some airplanes and go over there and sit in Red Square and tell these people, we know we don't want war, but they are for world domination. And that's what your groups do not seem to understand. These people have circled the United States as it is right now. We have nuclear subs all around. One popped up the other day, disabled. You people do not realize that it doesn't matter how much we disarm. And as Wayne said a couple of minutes ago, what happens? These people do what the Germans, the Nazis did to us in 39 and 40, killed hundreds and thousands of Canadians, Americans.
Okay, I detect an element of frustration in your voice, Jennifer. What's your response? What's your response to our caller's point?
Well, basically, I don't think it's the people of the Soviet Union that want world domination. I think that's been something that's been promoted perhaps by the government of the USSR. And I
what other power is it?
Pardon me?
What other power is it? What other force is there in Russia besides the government?
Okay, you're right. I don't agree with the system over there. But I don't think a way of justifying nuclear arms is saying that we want to prevent communism, because I don't think it's an either-or situation. We're talking about life or death. We're not talking about one system versus another system. I agree with you.
Jennifer Moore, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Ted, thank you for your call. Bye-bye now.